This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump promises deportations. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Marcy Norton, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, September 1st. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
After appearing to soften his rhetoric during a meeting with the president of Mexico, Donald Trump later delivered tough talk on a border wall and illegal immigrants.
The 49ers play the Chargers in a preseason game tonight. Many will watch the national anthem to see if San Francisco quarterback Colin Kaepernick will stand.
Warnings across much of Florida as a storm in the Gulf targets landfall tonight, and the Big Island of Hawaii is getting pelted by strong rain and surf.
And the best and worst cities for homeowners.
So the top cities were Portland, Phoenix, Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Minneapolis. For worst cities, we had Hartford, Connecticut, New York, Providence, Rhode Island, Los Angeles, and Buffalo, New York.
Klaus Bell at Bankrate.com has a list of the best and worst metro areas for owning a home. He's here in about 20 minutes. After what was described as a polite but blunt conversation with the president of Mexico in Mexico City, Donald Trump told a crowd of supporters in Phoenix last night that all illegal immigrants are subject to deportation, and all those seeking legalization would have to go home and re-enter the country legally.
We take anybody. Come on in, anybody. Just come on in. Not anymore.
The Republican presidential nominee also reiterated his assertion that Mexico will pay to build a wall on the southern border. Yet Mexico's president also reiterated separately that it would not be paying for it. On the issue of trade, Mr. Trump did appear to give some room, saying he would aim to improve the North American Free Trade Agreement, something he has long called a disaster.
We need a system that serves our needs, not the needs of others. Remember, under a Trump administration, it's called America First. Remember that.
The Wall Street Journal says Mr. Trump is placing a clear bet that it's more important to rev up his supporters than to soften his tone to reach out to unpersuaded voters. Well, more on the speech that was delivered in Phoenix last night from immigration attorney Chris Cabanillas, who operates 8 offices in 3 states, is with us live this morning from Connecticut. Morning, Chris. Some inconsistencies, it seems, with Mr. Trump's message as of late.
Well, let me tell you, I'm very surprised to see, have heard that he doubled down and really came and kept with his aggressive tone from when he first came out. I mean, that's what drove him through the primaries. That's what really got his supporters pumped up, if you will. And certainly what made him famous when it was first starting out in the election, and to see him sort of double down with it is, I'm surprised. I was expecting he was going to soften the tone, but he didn't.
What are the realities of deporting millions of people?
Well, first off, I think that realistically, there's obviously due process here in the United States. So, if you believe somebody, even if we're trying to enforce this, and we believe somebody that they weren't documented, and we try to enforce this, you'd have a procedural nightmare just in terms of the sheer amount of more judges and ICE officials and et cetera that you would need involved would be a ton. Not that it's impossible, but there would be, you'd really need a lot more bodies just to sort of manage that. So I think that's kind of the first thing. The second thing is, the reality is that you'd have a large group of people, up to 11 million people in the United States, that would really, really be on edge, that are living here, have been working here, have been contributing to society, And you know, I'll tell you, from those that I deal with, you know, on a daily basis, they're scared. They're really concerned that, you know, it could become a police state under a really strong police state, if you will, under Trump. And that they'd have to be worried about being separated from the families and, you know, and being deported at any moment. So people are really on edge about it.
You get the sense that an office like yours, as an immigration attorney, would be contacted, and they might say, "Hey, Chris, give us names and addresses."
No, I don't think that they would do. I mean, obviously there's free speech and the rest of that, but I think that that I'm not concerned with that, but I do think that look, you know, the country has taken a large segment of the country has taken sort of a very aggressive tone, and I think that you know, there's a lot of people that are fed up with what they believe to be you know, sort of rules that aren't enforced and are looking for that change, and Trump is resonating with them.
Yeah.
And you know, and the tough talk is certainly seen as favorable in the eyes of a lot of people.
We're speaking live this morning with immigration attorney Chris Cabanillas, talking about Mr. Trump's speech from last night. In your experience, do legal immigrants get frustrated with the illegal immigrants?
I think that the answer would be, you know, yes, certainly in some respects, because you know, there's obviously going to be some form of xenophobia, if you will, or there's going to be, you know, some people that are going to be thought to be grouped in with another group, which is a difficulty, obviously, of sort of this tough immigration laws, you know, and it's happening all throughout Europe as well. As you know, obviously there's plenty of people here that are here legally or may appear to be born somewhere else,
right,
or, you know, through their language or what have you, that are going through the system properly or that are going through the right channels, who are being grouped in and being assumed to not be doing so. So I would say that there's a lot of people that are frustrated with sort of what the rhetoric is doing in terms of the tone of the country.
If you are a resident of Mexico trying to get into the U.S. legally, what's the general rule on how long that could take these days?
Oh, that's I mean, the waiting times are upwards of 10 years plus.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's you know, I mean, obviously if there's certain priorities, if you were going to be someone who's engaged to be married, or, you know, or your direct child or something like that, there's different rules, but just a regular sort of family visa, the wait times can take a while.
All right, and it's so generally speaking, then back up for just a minute. What takes so long?
There's just the sheer number of people. I mean, there's a waiting list, and there's you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of demand.
How about the idea, Chris, of what Mr. Trump said, going home, then reentering? Is that realistic?
I think to a lot of people that are here and that are already establishing their lives and their families are here, I think it's something that's terrifying to them. You know, there's people here who are, you know, you would have to automatically be splitting up lots of families that are here. And I think that, look, I mean, that the rule stands now says that you have to do that. And so, you know, obviously people aren't abiding by that for all the other reasons that go with it. So, you know, he's not saying anything new in that regard that's not already being abided by now.
Right. That's more of the enforce the law thing. Thanks, Chris. Immigration attorney Chris Cabanillas with us live this morning, operates 8 offices in 3 states. It's 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Say goodbye to thieves. Say hello to CUDA-CAM by Barracuda Networks, the leader in cloud security and storage solutions. CUDA-CAM is a complete cloud-hosted video surveillance solution that captures high-quality footage when motion is detected. Just plug in one or more CUDA-CAM cameras with no network or camera configuration. Video evidence is automatically encrypted and stored in the Barracuda Cloud for secure access from any web browser or mobile device. Visit CUDA-CAM.com to learn why CUDA-CAM is so easy on your wallet, yet so hard to avoid.
Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business, or 2,000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Glad you're with us on this Thursday. Well, following Mr. Trump's meeting with Mexico's president, Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton criticized his foreign policy approach. In her address to the American Legion's National Convention in Cincinnati, Mrs. Clinton yesterday suggested that Mr. Trump offers a more dour view of the country's standing in the world.
It certainly takes more than trying to make up for a year of insults and insinuations by dropping in on our neighbors for a few hours and then flying home again. That is not how it works.
Mrs. Clinton is trying to capitalize on what her campaign believes is a political strength, her credentials as a former Secretary of State. She spoke about her efforts to build international coalitions, shore up alliances, and advise the president on such fateful decisions as the special forces raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Critics have argued that the world became a much more dangerous place under the Obama administration. A state of emergency has been declared for 51 of Florida's 67 counties ahead of landfall for Tropical Storm Hermine, which is expected to reach hurricane status by the time it makes landfall. The storm, currently in the Gulf of Mexico, is expected to be near the Florida coast by tonight. The National Hurricane Center says residents along the Gulf Coast, pounded by heavy rain yesterday in advance of the storm, should be prepared for flooding and storm surges, as Hermine could bring up to 10 inches of rain or even 20 inches in some isolated areas. Some Floridians are taking the warnings in stride.
When the tide gets up too high, we'll either leave or we'll stay and make potato salad and party.
The center said rising waters could be life-threatening from Arapaca to Indian Pass, which is located in central Florida, about 50 miles north of Tampa. After hitting Florida, the storm is expected to track northeast along the coasts of Georgia and the Carolinas. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Marcy Norton is here with more of America's First News.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump held a surprise meeting yesterday with Mexico's president. He said the two agreed that each nation has a sovereign right to build a physical barrier to protect its borders.
Having a secure border is a sovereign right and mutually beneficial.
Trump said the two did not discuss who would pay for his proposed border wall, but in an immigration speech later in the day, Trump repeated his vow that Mexico would foot the bill. Meantime, in a speech to veterans at the American Legion's National Convention in Cincinnati, Hillary Clinton portrayed Trump as a threat to national security, and she belittled Trump's hastily arranged meeting with Mexico's president, saying diplomacy is complicated.
It's more than a photo op. It takes consistency and reliability.
Clinton also again criticized Trump for his careless rhetoric about American allies like Mexico. Americans are spending more money to eat out, replace older cars and trucks, and entertain themselves. The government's latest report on household spending shows overall consumer spending rose more than 3% last year. That's the fastest growth rate since back in 2005. We are having more fun with our money, but we're also spending more on rent and health care. Scientists are showing measured excitement about a new Alzheimer's drug that appears to destroy the protein plaques that build up in the brains of those afflicted with the disease. Experts are cautious because the drug's still in the early stages of development, but a study in the journal Nature has shown it's safe and that it halts memory decline. Biotech company Biogen is helping to develop that. The president of Brazil has been removed from office following an impeachment trial she condemns as a coup. Brazil's Senate convicted the president of using illegal bookkeeping maneuvers to hide a growing budget deficit. And a feel-good story out of Amatrice, Italy. A pet cat named Joy has been reunited with her owner more than 6 days after she was trapped in the rubble in the deadly earthquake that hit the region. She was shown online lapping up water from a bottle by the side of the road, and her caretakers say she's going to make it.
6 days.
Poor kitty.
That's one life.
That's right.
8 more to go, perhaps.
Hopefully they'll find, you know, even more.
How about that? Very good. Good story. Thank Marcy. It's 24 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. A new survey has identified a list of the best and worst places for home ownership. It doesn't mean these cities or metro areas aren't wonderful or awful places to live, just a measure of home ownership. Klaus Bell is data analyst for Bankrate.com, which conducted the survey. Klaus, what'd you find?
So the top cities were Portland, Phoenix, Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Minneapolis.
All right. And Portland tops why? What do they seem to do the best of?
Well, they first of all, home prices are rising there. So if you buy in now, you stand to make money when you sell, for one thing. The prices are still relatively affordable for a West Coast city compared to some of the other West Coast cities. They also have low costs for things like property insurance. Property taxes are reasonable there. Costs of getting repairs on your home are pretty reasonable. So, all those sorts of side costs that people maybe don't think about when they're looking at home ownership, like property insurance, are actually pretty affordable there.
I thought I was surprised that Phoenix, say, was number two, and then Vegas at number four, because I thought they were kind of suffering or slow to recover after the housing bust.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, too. When we looked at this, we found that the housing crisis really hit those cities hard. And for people who bought in 2005 or 2006, that was a real problem. They saw the value really fall and maybe not even recover to that previous level. But for people who bought in afterward, when those prices hit bottom, they had a real opportunity there. They could maybe afford houses where they wouldn't have been able to afford them before. And as the home prices in those areas have recovered, they've reaped some nice gains from that.
How about that? We're speaking with Klaus Bell, data editor at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey out that measures the best and worst metro areas for homeowners. All right, so how about some of the worst cities? What'd you come up with?
So for worst cities, we had Hartford, Connecticut, New York, Providence, Rhode Island, Los Angeles, and Buffalo, New York.
And what were the common themes there, Klaus?
Well, in general, in the bottom 10 cities, there was a lot of northeastern cities with high home prices and then also high property taxes and some other costs. Energy costs tended to be high in those areas because the winter heating a home during that time is quite expensive.
Thanks, Klaus. Klaus Bell, data editor for Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office are never convenient, so why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. Currently, over 600,000 small businesses are using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com. Then enter the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, September 1. Where did April go, right? Gordon Deal with Marcy Norton, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump again says Mexico will pay for a border wall. Mexico again says incorrecto. That's 4 years of high school Spanish right there. Big storm in the Gulf expected to reach Florida tonight. Tropical storm hitting the big island of Hawaii. Delta using new technology to better avoid turbulence. Walmart names its 25 hottest toys for the holidays. Niners and Chargers play tonight. Will Colin Kaepernick stand for the national anthem? And the hottest target for thieves in sporting goods right now. Plus, a heartwarming story about a Florida State football player. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, on a day when Florida is watching Tropical Storm Hermine churn in the Gulf of Mexico, it's ironic that the first day of September brings us to National Preparedness Month. As part of that, the Federal Emergency Management Agency is launching a new campaign called Don't Wait, Communicate, part of an effort to tap social media and people's use of mobile devices. We're joined now by Kathleen Fox, Assistant Administrator at FEMA. She's with us live. Morning, Kathleen. Explain the campaign.
Good morning, Gordon. How are you doing? The campaign is Don't Wait, Communicate, just like you said. And the idea is to encourage folks to make a family emergency plan, to get together around the dinner table. It's free, doesn't take very much time. And you can go over sort of the basics of emergency planning. So how would you communicate with each other in an emergency? We don't all know each other's phone numbers by heart anymore like we used to. So do we know each other's cell phone numbers? Do you have an out-of-town contact to reach out to if cell phone lines in your area are jammed? Where would you get together in the event that you couldn't go home? And that could be, you know, because of something local like a fire, or it could be any of the storms that you mentioned that are threatening different parts of the country. You know, where's a safe place in your community? And then really, are you practicing those things? We remember things by doing them. So getting out and practicing your preparedness is hugely important as well.
Ooh, I didn't even think about practicing. Yeah, so it's one thing to lay out that plan, I guess. How do you get people involved? You know, say you got little kids, too.
Yeah, exactly. Little kids are great motivators to do these kinds of things. So I know that my little ones asked me about fire drills, so we practice those at home. Talk to them about, you know, where you would go in the event that you couldn't go home. So at my house, we know which neighbor's house we'd go to if there was a fire or something happened to our house, and my little guys know exactly where to go. So really, it's just about having a conversation in a lot of ways and then making sure that we practice it. So we walk across the street and knock on the neighbor's door, and just taking those simple steps really to be prepared makes a huge difference.
We always wonder, kind of this time of year, or at least lately, we've seen these obviously big wildfires out west. We've had this horrible flooding in southern Louisiana, and we're preparing for these couple of storms here, not only on the Gulf of Mexico or the East Coast, but out in the Pacific by Hawaii also. How are we in terms of preparedness as a nation? I know your agency gives these warnings frequently, you know, every year at this time. Are we getting any better, or do we just continue to ignore the message, or how do you see it?
It's a little bit of all of those things, honestly. We know that about half of the people in the country have taken some basic steps to prepare, but we know that far less, about 30% of folks, have actually taken some steps to do something about it, so have made a family emergency plan or have done something to practice their preparedness. So we get through to about half the country, and half the country, as you said, doesn't pay a whole lot of attention. So we like to take this opportunity in September with all of the storms and natural hazards and things that you mentioned in your news roundup that are going on around the country. It really is a good reminder to be prepared and to do those basic things. The other thing is, you mentioned the floods in Louisiana that were devastating. One of the things that we ask folks to do is to digitize their documents. So you can protect your hard copies of documents, you know, in a waterproof bag, but also having them, you know, on a thumb drive or protected wherever you save important documents electronically is something that can really help you get back on your feet more quickly if you do find yourself in a flooding situation.
We're live this morning with Kathleen Fox, Assistant Administrator at FEMA. What about the use of social media these days, or people's use of mobile devices, Kathleen?
Yeah, that's a great point. We have the FEMA app, which is actually a really great tool. It's got all kinds of things in it, from disaster resources to weather alerts that follow you as you go. Safety tips, we've got it in English and Spanish with customizable checklists. We've got directions to open shelters, and just important preparedness alerts, like reminding you to change the batteries in your smoke alarms. So invite folks to go to their app store and download the FEMA app. It really is a terrific resource.
Very good. Excellent. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Nice talking to you. Kathleen Fox, Assistant Administrator at FEMA, with us live this morning. It's 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you know the old saying that one bad apple spoils the bunch, but one man in the Pacific Northwest apparently has a backpack full of apples and is spoiling the day for homeowners across the area. The Clark County Sheriff's Office in Southwest Washington says says that someone known as the bad apple culprit has been tossing apples on people's roofs. Sometimes the culprit even leaves a note. In a recent note, the culprit claimed he targeted 5 homes, 3 apples per house, very precise. He also wrote of his experience tossing apples at homes in other towns.
Jeez.
The culprit also claims that Portland, quote, might be the best place on earth for a hooligan riding a bicycle with a backpack full of apples, because there are bicyclists everywhere and it's easy to get lost in the neighborhoods. Deputies have released a surveillance image of the culprit in the hopes that the public can identify him.
He just throws rotten apples at people's homes.
He just throws apples. But I also get the feeling, too, that there aren't a lot. There's not a lot of crime going on in these neighborhoods as the police are hot on his tail,
I
right?
See.
It seems like this is the worst thing that's going on in these
right.
neighborhoods, that they have a couple of apples on their roofs,
yeah.
then I think, you know, things are going pretty well for them.
I wouldn't want to hear that thud, though, in the middle of the night.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be unsettling.
Or you don't want them to miss. And like I did when I was a kid, I a friend of mine and I were throwing apples up into my roof. And I missed and hit a window, and it went right through the window.
Nice going there,
Ace. Parents' bedroom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I never threw any apples up on my roof ever again. I can tell you that much.
The bad apple culprit. That's the best nickname. Like in this great age of like hashtags and social media.
Exactly.
That's the best we got. The bad apple culprit.
Yeah. I'm surprised that I even saw this story, that it went viral enough for me to see it with such a terrible nickname.
Mm. Okay.
And Gordon, they say also that the couple that dresses together stays together, or at least that's been the case for one elderly couple. Anthony Gargiulo says that his grandparents, Ed and Fran, have been married for 52 years, and they match outfits every single day. Anthony told CNN that the habit began when they performed as square dancers, and the tradition carried over into their daily lives. The couple aren't shy about their continuity either, sending Anthony daily texts saying, "Good morning, we hope you have a good day," along with a pic of that day's outfits. In fact, even after finding out about their viral fame, Ed and Fran haven't wavered from their tradition at all, still texting Anthony their daily outfit, along with the caption, "Good morning from your famous grandparents."
Very good. Love it. That's a great story.
Yeah. And you saw the pictures online. I mean, it's, you know, cute, the cutest couple you've ever seen in your life.
There's no cuter couple on the internet. And here's the thing that I think I've noticed is that these are not selfies. So what strikes me is that they are setting their smartphone camera on a timer and then going and, you know, standing with their arms around each other, right?
That's right. I mean, that's impressive technological know-how.
You could see their arms in these pictures, so they're not holding the camera. So
that takes
a little planning, too.
That's impressive. I don't think I could do that with my phone, and these folks are, you know, well into their 70s. So,
right.
You know, congratulations to them.
Very good. I'm going to try to top your feel-good story, by the way, with one of my own. Regarding the Florida State football team.
Oh.
In about 8 minutes from now.
Looking forward to that.
Dueling stories. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Marcy Norton is back with more of America's First News.
Residents of the Florida Panhandle are bracing for what's currently Tropical Storm Hermine. It's churning in the Gulf of Mexico and is expected to make landfall as a hurricane by tonight. Chris Landsea is with the National Hurricane Center.
A 4 to 7 foot storm surge would be of concern for the coastal communities of the Northwest Florida, where it makes landfall. And that's where in the past hurricanes and tropical storms can hurt or kill a lot of people.
The center of the storm is now about 300 miles west-southwest of Tampa. In a much-anticipated immigration speech last night, GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump continued his tough talk, vowing to deport any illegals who commit crimes here and to make Mexico pay for a border wall.
We need a system that serves our needs, not the needs of others. Remember, under a Trump administration, it's called America First. Remember that.
Meantime, in a speech to a veterans group yesterday, Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton painted Trump as a loose cannon who will alienate U.S. allies. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday rejected an emergency appeal by North Carolina to revive stricter voting rules. The state wanted to reduce the number of days for early voting and require photo identification at the polls. The justices determined those rules were written with the intent of discriminating against black voters. Automaker Mazda says it's recalling more than 2 million vehicles worldwide. There are two problems. Some cars have potential trouble with their rear gates, which can corrode and break from salt exposure. Others have a separate issue with their diesel engines. Recalled models include the Mazda 3 sedan and the CX-3 SUV crossover. If you or maybe your kids are obsessed with dinosaurs, the dinosaur attraction is finally coming to the U.S. Jurassic World has been a sold-out sensation since it debuted earlier this year in Australia. Now the attraction will make its U.S. debut in November at Philadelphia's Franklin Institute. It's billed as the closest you'll ever get to living, breathing dinosaurs with these animatronic dinosaurs that are life-size. That's about as close as I think I'd want to get.
It's pretty cool, though.
It looks cool.
Pretty cool. Thank you, Mars. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. We'll leave you with another feel-good story that's gone viral. The Florida State football team recently visited the Montford Middle School in nearby Tallahassee. During lunch sat a boy named Bo Paskey, a student with autism. He was eating by himself, that is, until FSU wide receiver Travis Rudolph took notice. Rudolph ate a slice of pizza while chatting up young Bo. By the way, just as a reminder that all the hate you see on TV is not representative of the rest of the world. One of these people in the story is black, the other is white. Who's who is irrelevant. Bo's mom on Facebook shared the photo of the two together and wrote, quote, "I'm not sure what exactly made this incredibly kind man share a lunch table with my son, but I'm happy to say that this is one day I didn't have to worry if my sweet boy ate lunch alone. We are fans for life." For Marcy Norton, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.